Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a tremendous privilege to be here with you this morning and have the opportunity to share what the Lord's put on my heart for the church here. And I do so appreciate the presence of the Lord here. Amen. Amen. It always amazes me how the Spirit of the Lord speaks through even the prophecies and the encouraging words, and they kind of flow right along with what I'm going to speak this morning. So it's an encouragement to me. And I hope the message encourages your hearts this morning as well. So I'm under strict instruction to not go past 1:30, so we'll get started. But as I was asking the Lord what to share, he laid upon my heart the topic of waiting patiently for the Lord. How many of us like to wait? No, there's none of us. No one likes to wait for anything, especially when it's something we've had an expectation for, something that we're really excited about. I know for me, I don't like to wait 2 to 3 minutes in the drive-thru waiting for my coffee in the morning. When I go grocery shopping with my wife, we look for the shortest checkout line because we don't want to wait. You know, when we pull into a gas station and every pump has a car in it except that one way over there, I will do everything I can to make that six-point turn and get my car turned around and backed in so that the nozzle's on the right side and I get fuel. There's little that we like to wait for. And I think our focus tends to be on what we want, what we need, and our determination, our human nature is, how can I get it and obtain it now? The sooner the better, as soon as possible. Waiting is hard work. And it can even test our faith. Especially, you know, when things are very difficult, when things are dry spiritually, it's very hard to wait for the Lord to speak and to answer and to move us on out of that valley and into something new and something fresh. And, you know, as we heard this morning with the prophetic words that were given, you know, to seek after the Lord wholeheartedly during that time, and that he is a faithful God, and he will bring us out of those hard times, those dry valleys that we seem to endure so often in our Christian walk. But they are for a purpose. You know, desires that we've brought before the Lord countless times, prayers that we've prayed over and over again, promises from the Lord that we've been given as individuals, as a church, things that we wait for, you know, those things are difficult to continue steadfastly asking and waiting for. And I think, maybe I'm the only one, but it can lead us to become very impatient with the Lord, and sometimes discouraged, sometimes worry and fear can set in, and unfortunately, we can even begin to doubt, you know, the precious promises that the Lord has given to us individually. And, you know, I don't want to ask anyone to raise their hands here this morning, but if I asked who has received promises from the Lord that we're still waiting for, I think many in this room would raise their hands. There are things that we are still hopeful for that we have not yet seen come to pass. You know, we were singing this morning, we long to see your river poured out from heaven. You know, we long to see your face. We know that is a promise that is given to Zion, that the Lord will pour forth his glory. And we have been faithfully waiting, you know, for the floodgates of heaven to be opened. So there's a lot of waiting going around in our personal lives, in our individual churches, and in Zion Fellowship as a whole. God has spoken many great promises, and we who are here are still waiting for the Lord and hoping for those things to come to fruition. You know, the Lord has definitely met many other promises in my past, and I'm sure in your lives as well, that have kept us encouraged and given us further hope for what lies ahead. And those things, you know, we want to hold dear in our hearts. We want to hold on to those things so that we have the endurance and the strength to continue on and to wait. I think, you know, I was trying to come up with a good example from Scripture about waiting patiently on the Lord. And there are so many, so many examples in Scripture about waiting. And there are good accounts, there are bad, you know, where people gave up on waiting and they wanted to go forward in their own strength and their own knowledge and understanding. And they wanted to go forward ahead of the Lord, out of His timing. And it led to destruction and a lot of suffering and heartache. But those that did it right and those that waited patiently for the Lord, sometimes they waited years upon years. Some nations waited generations to see the promises of the Lord come to pass. And I'm sure it was just as difficult for them as it is for us to wait. But there was so much blessing, so much that came from waiting and doing it the Lord's way, that we need to make sure we apply that to our own lives as well. You know, something the Lord has been speaking repeatedly to my own heart lately that I want to focus on here this morning is waiting for the Lord, waiting for His promises to come to pass is not just a time to be idle. It's not a passive activity in which we do nothing. It is a time where we need to be actively involved, seeking the heart of the Lord. We need to be actively participating in the work that He wants to accomplish in us and through us. You know, it's through seeking after the heart of God that we will have the Holy Spirit work within us, that perseverance, that patience, that humility of waiting for the Lord. And it also draws us closer to the Lord. We come to depend and trust on Him in a greater measure. You know, we don't just sit back and twiddle our thumbs and wait for the next thing to come to pass. We have to be actively involved. You know, part of the promises that have been given to Zion Fellowship is a Bible school in every nation. And that isn't just going to happen without some involvement from us, from those that the Lord desires to use. We need to be actively involved, not just sitting back and waiting. So patiently waiting also requires some effort, some effort on our part. Actively preparing. Waiting patiently should be a time of actively preparing, not a time of idleness. Because I think, you know, when we are idle, we tend to focus on other things. Our focus is shifted. Our energy, our efforts can be concentrated elsewhere on the things that maybe we want to do, our will, you know, the things that we desire. And our hope in the Lord and for what He's promised can seriously diminish. You know, those things that He's promised us, we can tend to put on the back burner and not give our all and all of our efforts to. We have to be actively praying and seeking and preparing for what lies ahead. Otherwise, you know, we won't receive those promises. And we might see the fulfillment of them, but what scares my heart is that I might see the fulfillment of what the Lord has promised me fulfilled in someone else. I might be seeing the fulfillment, but I might not be part of it. And that is something, you know, I think we all need to keep in our hearts. You know, the Lord will use someone else to fulfill His will. It's not completely hinging on you and me. The Lord's purposes will come to pass, regardless. And in our waiting, we want to have a heart filled with anticipation, eagerness, and an expectancy for the fulfillment of His word to us. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So there's a sense there that we need to be actively asking and seeking the Lord for what he has promised to give us, not just sitting back and patiently waiting. And the Lord did give me one of the many examples to reference here this morning in the message, and that is the account of Joseph. And I want to look at primarily his time in slavery and prison in Egypt. You know, there are many life lessons we can learn from Joseph, and we just want to focus on his time in Egypt this morning. But in Genesis 37, you know, we all know the story fairly well. But Joseph was given dreams and promises from the Lord of being raised up to a place of prominence over his brothers, even over his parents. And God promised much blessing and power and authority to him over his family and the nation. And yet, he was very young. He was the youngest of the brothers, so that obviously did not sit well with the older brothers. Those precious dreams turned out to be almost a curse for Joseph. We know that his own brothers sold him to a band of slave traders on their way to Egypt. They staged his murder by wild animals and convinced their father that your dreamer son, those dreams aren't going to come to pass, obviously. He's gone. And Joseph, we understand that he was sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. We know that everything for Joseph went south in a hurry. And he probably thought, you know, those promises, those dreams from the Lord, wow, where am I going? I'm going backwards. And yet, we understand that God was using this situation to prepare Joseph for future fulfillment of those very dreams, those same promises he had been given. He was a servant, like I said, in Potiphar's house. He worked diligently to please Potiphar, and yet he eventually got falsely accused and thrown in prison. So another couple steps backward. And yet we read in Genesis 39:21 that God was still with Joseph. And I believe in my heart Joseph knew that God was still with him. He never doubted the Lord. And despite, you know, the circumstances around him, Joseph remained faithful to share the Lord with other people in the prison and to walk uprightly before the Lord. When everything seemed hopeless and his situation seemed furthest from the promise that the Lord had given him, you know, those dreams that he had had many years ago, he continued to persevere. He had patience. He waited for the Lord to move. And he used that time to allow the Lord to prepare him. So he held true and faithful to the Lord despite being in the worst of situations. And, you know, for his faithfulness and the attitude of humility that was worked in Joseph, for his willingness to be shaped and molded by the Lord, we know that he was brought up out of those trials suddenly. You know, it was in one day that he was taken out of the prisons. He was cleaned up. He was given fine robes, stood before the most prominent ruler in that time. And he interpreted the dreams and was promoted to second in command in Egypt, all in the course of one day. The Lord can turn our situations quickly. You know, if we allow the Lord to work in us through the situations and the circumstances that we're facing right now, the Lord can pull us out. And we heard this morning, I keep going back to those prophetic words that the Lord gave. You know, the Lord can pull us out. He is a faithful God, and he does desire that as we are faithful to him, he will provide the victory. He will make us overcomers. And we will be lifted up above our enemies. You know, the Lord, in his perfect wisdom, had an appointed time for Joseph to step into this next phase of his life. And he has an appointed time for each one of us to step into the next thing in our Christian walk. It's not that we are stuck in a rut. It's not that the Lord has forgotten about us and someday he'll come back around and move us along. It's that he wants us to learn something in the situations that we're in right now. He has something for us that will make us better, that will further develop his character and his nature within us. It's in His wisdom and His timing that we will be brought forth out of those trials. He wants to make sure that we are properly equipped to step into the next phase of our Christian walk with Him. The Lord doesn't have us where we are spiritually or physically by mistake. The Lord has a plan. And I think we're all familiar with Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Not when you are half-hearted, but when you are seeking me with your whole heart, when you are wholeheartedly pressing on to what the Lord has planned for you. You know, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for placing us where we are, you know, with the knowledge and abilities that we currently possess, in order to shape us, in order to mold us. You know, it's in this time that we need to be seeking and hungering after the Spirit of the Lord. You know, for those deeper treasures that God has for us, so that He can instill within us that trust and dependence on Him, and not in our own strength, not our own wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And I think, you know, these seasons that we pass through of waiting, they really bring to the forefront where we are putting our trust. They are a defining factor. They help us to reveal what's truly in our hearts. Where are we placing our trust? Is it in what I think is best for me? Or is it in what God has planned in His timing for His will to be fulfilled? Joseph was faithful to allow the Lord to prepare him and mold him and shape him in his time of imprisonment and slavery. And eventually, we know he was lifted up to power and authority in Egypt over his enemies, over those that had wronged him, you know, over his brothers. You know, he came into the fulfillment of those dreams and those promises. And he ultimately saved an entire nation from ruin and destruction. You know, the Lord worked patience, faithfulness, trust, and obedience in Joseph, and He wants to do that in our lives as well, to work those things in our hearts. And I think, you know, each one of us, we have tremendous promises from the Lord. Maybe they were given to us personally by the Lord. Maybe they were spoken over us by our pastors or those in leadership in Zion. And we are holding on to those promises, aren't we? You know, we still have them in our hearts and our minds. And we need to ask ourselves, are we actively seeking for the fulfillment of those? Or have we put them on a shelf? Do we need to take them back down and ask the Lord for a fresh, you know, a fresh opening of the importance of what He wants to do in us and through us? Because it's in this time that He wants to prepare us. It's in this time that we need to open our hearts and allow Him to mold us and shape us. You know, Scripture offers plenty of examples where saints got weary of waiting, and they went and did it their own way, in their time. And like I said, we saw destruction. We see where they suffered, and where even generations that followed them suffered. And we don't want that to be said of us. You know, we want to wait for the Lord's timing and for His goodness and His blessing to be poured out to us. And it's only through waiting for the Lord's timing that can happen. If we try to go forward in our own strength, we're going to fall flat on our face. Believe me, I have plenty of examples of trying to do something that I knew that the Lord wanted me to do. It just wasn't His time. And I thought I knew best. And I thought I knew that this was the answer. This was the option that I need to take. And yet, everything got balled up in a hurry, and I came crawling back saying, Lord, I know I need to wait for you, and I will humble myself and allow you to move. And then, sure enough, it was, you know, instantly everything would fall into place, and the Lord would provide beyond my expectations and bring me into, you know, a place that I never thought I would go, or into a position or of responsibility, you know, that I never thought that I would have. But the Lord knew. And when I look back, I see how the Lord was preparing me for those circumstances. But it's when we wait for him, we will never be disappointed. So continue steadfastly in prayer. And something I want to add here is being watchful with thanksgiving. You know, we need to thank the Lord for all that he has already brought us through. Amen? You know, we need to be thankful for the promises that he's already delivered on. You know, the things that we're still expecting and hoping for are great, but we also can't forget, you know, what is behind us, you know, where the Lord has brought us out of. We are all here today, you know, following the Lord, walking uprightly before him and seeking for his best. And that is because of everything that has led up to this point. You know, the Lord has brought us so far, and we want to keep going. We want to be faithful Christian men and women who seek for his best. I think, you know, in times of waiting, it's easy for us to stop praying. You know, when you've been praying for that lost loved one, you know, who we want to see come back to the Lord, and it's been years, it's hard to keep praying. It's easy to put it a little lower on the prayer list and maybe not get to it one day or the next day. You know, there's plenty of examples I could go over in my own life, but I won't bore you with those. But there are things that, you know, the Lord wants us to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and he will deliver. He will bring us out. He will answer those requests. So while God may not be answering in our timing or in the way we expect, we know that he will accomplish his goodwill and his purposes in our lives as we wait and as we persevere in prayer. And, you know, remember, we just talked about, you know, the blessings that have come in the past and what we've come out of. Don't forget what lies ahead either. You know, the promises that the Lord's given, hold fast to those. Hold fast to what he's spoken in his word of what the church will enter into. You know, when his glory is poured out and revival is springing forth all over the earth, the Lord's going to be using the people in this room to minister to the new people that are coming in and seeking for more of the Lord and wanting him in their life. It's now that we need to be preparing, not when it's dropped in our lap that revival's here. Now what? You know, it's now that the Lord wants to work in us. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, Isaiah 30:18 says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Blessed are they that wait for him. You know, God is for us. And we read in Romans 8:28 that he works everything together for our good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, the Lord, like we read earlier in Jeremiah, the Lord, his intentions toward us are not evil. They're not to make us suffer. They're not to keep us in that trial as long as possible until we crack under the pressure. It's to work something in us. You know, there's a treasure to be gotten out of those times of dryness and darkness. During that long or short season of waiting, you know, our hearts should be encouraged to remember that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. One day, you know, sin will be no more. You know, life and its temptations, its demands, they will be gone. And we will be living in joy everlasting, you know, in heaven with the Lord. And, you know, that is just one of the many great promises that, lie before the church. And we need to hold on to those, you know, to keep encouraged and so that we can endure to the end. One major, you know, promise that we're all familiar with in Zion is, that of revival. And, you know, we are going to play a key role in, what the Lord wants to do in the nations of the earth. And right now, I think when I look at the different congregations in, Zion Fellowship, we are small. And some are growing smaller and smaller. There are people that may be giving up on, waiting patiently for the Lord. But yet, you know, the Lord is working in those that remain faithful, those who are actively seeking for what the Lord wants to do in us and, through us. Revival is, coming despite the apparent trimming away that we see in the numbers. And I just want to talk a little bit about the Zion leadership, you know, who we have in our, fellowship. They continue in their God-appointed positions, in their ministries, despite the lack of apparent fruitfulness. You know, we see small churches. You know, the world sees us as a small organization. They don't see revival happening right now in Zion, but yet, you know, the Zion leaders remain faithful, and they have, stuck with it. They are waiting patiently. They are seeking for what the Lord wants to teach the people through them and through their faithfulness. They are resolute in utilizing this time to prepare, as, we should be also, allowing the Lord to mold and shape them. You know, the Lord wants and needs his church to be effective teachers and, preachers in the time of revival. And that's where you and I come in. You know, the Lord wants to raise up those that can teach and preach his word to the nations, and to ultimately receive truth, receive life, and receive Christ. Amen. So in conclusion, you know, perhaps the Lord this morning, while I've been talking, has brought back to your spirit something that he's spoken many years ago, or even recently, that you may have kind of put to the side or put on the back burner. Maybe there's something that, he's spoken to you years ago that you've kind of just waited for the Lord to bring you into. We need to ask the Lord for a fresh infilling of the importance of those promises. You know, we are waiting for those to happen, but are we giving it our all? Are we seeking? Are we knocking? Are we asking the Lord, what do you want to do in my life right now? What needs to be taken out? What needs to be put in? What needs to be chiseled away? What needs to be broken in my heart so that I can step into what you have purposed for me in my life? You know, we are to be waiting patiently for the fulfillment, but at the same time, we have to be doing our part to prepare and not be idle. And just like Joseph, you know, the Lord prepares us as we wait. He's working that spirit of faithfulness and dependence and trust in him, in us. So I just want to encourage each one of us here today, myself included, you know, we need to surrender to the Lord our hearts and allow him to, show us what needs to be added or removed, in order for us to fulfill his will for our life. You know, we all want to hit that mark that the Lord has purposed for our lives. Amen. We all want to wait patiently, but at the same time, we want to press forward, and we want to come into what the Lord has purposed for us. Amen.